Well, if you have your Bible with you this morning or can pull it up on your device, turn with me, if you would, to Revelation 19. We're going to be in verses 1 through 6 this morning, and I cannot tell you how excited I am to finally be at Revelation 19. It has been a slow, agonizing climb, and really not a climb, really a descent into just how pitiful and awful and dark the world has been over the last 3 or 4 chapters in Revelation. But finally, we take the turn. We take the turn toward the final victory. But to put us back in context, last week we began looking at the End Times playlist. Those songs that you can hear or will hear one day being sung around the world. And in chapter 18, 9 through 24, the first song of the playlist that we heard was a song that mourned the loss of the fallen world with its temporary powers and corruptible sources of wealth. Facing the music for those singing in chapter 18 meant recognizing their doom after having placed their hope in the wrong thing or wrong person. We learned in the pitiful singing of the world that our hope must be found in something beyond this world as it currently exists. And this Sunday, we turn to the next chapter in Revelation, Revelation 19, and we're going to hear a new song that celebrates the reign and power of that person that we ought to place our faith and trust in, the one who's lacking nothing, who is eternally sovereign over all. And we're going to learn that facing the music for God's people in chapter 19 means acknowledging the ultimate authority already in place, and we ought to extend him all praise, glory, and honor. I can't wait to play it for you. And so if you would stand in honor of reading God's word, I will read it. We will pray, and the Spirit will teach us this morning. Revelation 19, 1 through 6. After these things, I heard something like a sound of a voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous. For he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality. He has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her." And a second time they said, "Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, "Amen! Hallelujah!" And a voice came from the throne saying, "Give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great." Then I heard something like the sound of a voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns." Let's pray. Lord, we can't help, as we have been led already this morning, to exclaim along with those in this passage, "Hallelujah, you are in control. Hallelujah, your judgment is true. Hallelujah, you are worthy of worship, and you reign. Hallelujah." Encourage us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to look at 4 verses in this song that we just read. And the first verse is found in verses 1 and 2, and it's simply this: "Hallelujah, God is a righteous judge." Now, once again, in chapters 17 through 18, the long, sad song of a world in the process of being destroyed was heard, illustrating, again, how futile its hope in temporary powers and material wealth is. In chapter 19, a new song is sung, a celebration song consisting of these 4 verses. This tune, which sharply contrasts the one in the preceding chapter, is introduced with, "After these things, I heard something like the sound of a voice of a great multitude in heaven." This great multitude is the same group of saints envisioned earlier in chapter 7, verse 9. There, as here, they are seen standing before the throne, praising God for his salvation. And the first verse of the song that this multitude sings is introduced with, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God." Now, it might surprise you to learn that Revelation 19 records the only four uses of the word hallelujah in the New Testament. However, this familiar exclamation comes from a Hebrew word meaning praise the Lord that is found frequently in the book of Psalms. One Old Testament song in particular that celebrates the greatness of God following the eradication of sin is found in Psalm 104, verse 35, which says these words, "Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord," or hallelujah. This Old Testament reference appears to run parallel to what is celebrated here in Revelation 19, in both the words used, hallelujah, and the reasons for their expression, victory over sin. God is to be praised, according to the multitude of Revelation 19, as, if we read verse 1, salvation and glory and honor or power belong to our God. This is another example of a triad, or a group of three things, people, or ideas that are connected contextually or grammatically in the book of Revelation. And while some of these groups of threes accentuate three separate but related ideas or personalities, others are used to demonstrate or emphasize a sentiment or quality of a single entity. Here, something of the greatness of God is emphasized by three characteristics connected to his being and ministry. First, God can and has provided salvation for his people. Following the destruction of the world, he will also bring about ultimate salvation for those who belong to him. Second, God is and has always been glorious and deserving of all glory. Salvation and glory. And third, God is powerful. And certainly his power has been witnessed in amazing ways through the vision given to John. Salvation, glory, and power have been on display in a couple of specific ways in the book thus far. These are presented as reasons offered by the multitude for God's worthiness to be praised. First, he is praised, verse 2 tells us, because his judgments are true and righteous. This is quoted nearly verbatim from Revelation 16, verse 7. And in both passages, God's justice is described as true because it is based on his own faithfulness. It is just because it's based on his own holy character. In other words, his judgments are both morally true and legally just. And the recipient of this morally true and legally just punishment is the coming world order. Verse 2 continues, "For he has judged the great harlot who is corrupting the earth with her immorality." There's an interesting juxtaposition being made here that's worth exploring. God is said here to have judged the power that was corrupting. And it is a vivid way of saying that God has put a decisive end to an ongoing and continuous process of corruption. The visions in Revelation have already revealed that the world's corruption has and will continue to involve rampant idolatry, either of the economy and overt materialism or the temporal powers in place or seen in the pagan worship of the beast that is to come. But this multi-pronged program of corruption that will reach fever pitch in the end will be put to a stop in this final judgment of the fallen world. In addition to putting an end to corruption, God will, as verse 2 continues, avenge the blood of his servants on her. God will finally answer the cries of the martyred saints in heaven, heard in Revelation 6, verse 10, when it says, "They cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who have dwelt on the earth?' Their wait for retribution, according to Revelation 19, is over. And the same world that stopped at nothing to silence God's people will itself be silenced once and for all. This important conclusive note on evil in the world is a very important truth to keep in mind when considering the problem of sin that we deal with and that we see so vividly on a daily basis. Evil certainly exists. We don't need reminding of that. We see it all around us. We watch it almost in real time on television and hear about it reported on. We experience it in a very personal way. The reality of evil is something one doesn't soon forget. However, friends, this truism that evil exists, if accepted in isolation, leads to all kinds of problems that we would expect in an incomplete reading of Scripture. For the Bible says that while evil exists, we also learn here and in other places that evil is limited. It will be judged, and it will be ultimately eradicated. You see, you can't read Genesis 3, the account of the fall of man, without skipping Genesis 3:15, and not skip, I should say, Genesis 3:15, or the first gospel, the first prediction that even at the very entrance or instigation of evil, God promises a way of salvation. Friends, we cannot read Revelation 13 through 18, all of these dark and dismal texts that we've been working our way through over the last several weeks, and skip Revelation 19. Be encouraged, friends. God is greater than sin and the evil in this world, and He will put an end to it. We need not only pay attention to all of the news that we see around us and forget the good news that is found in God's word and the promise of victory over evil through Christ. Hallelujah. God is a righteous judge. But this leads us to the second verse. Hallelujah. God's judgment is total. Verse 3. And the second time they said, Hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. This short refrain celebrates the extent of the punishment that was identified in the first verse against wickedness. The language reflects Revelation 14, verse 11, where it says, And the smoke of her torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. There's a lot of smoke in Revelation, and it indicates the presence of many different things. There is the smoke of the prayers of the saints that rises as incense to the throne room of God. There's the smoke of the glory of God that fills the temple. But in contrast to these images is the smoke of war, also present in Revelation, and the smoke of torment that accompanies the lake of fire to be described later. The latter is probably what is in view here, indicating the judgment of God that will endure forever against his enemies. God's judgment is total. This leads us to the third verse of this tune. Hallelujah. God is worthy of worship. The third verse of this tune is sung by a different group of choristers. Verse 4 tells us that the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne. Throughout the book of Revelation, in these moments of worship, we often see this collection of singers. These same singers that were first introduced to us in Revelation 4, beginning in verse 4, where it says, Around the throne there were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal, and in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. In Revelation 4, these worshipers praised God for his unmatched holiness and ability to create the universe. In Revelation 5, the same group of singers sings a new song to the Lamb who emerges onto the scene. There they praise Christ for his ministry of redemption and his ability to set in motion those things that will end the world as we know it. Later on in Revelation 14, verse 3, these same beings sing a song that no one else knows, looking forward to the victory of the Lamb. And here in Revelation 19, this victory is secured, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures once again voice their praises to God who sits on the throne. It is his absolute authority that is most in focus here. After all, it is his sovereign plan that created the world, that saved the world, and that will judge the world so as to usher in a new world for his people. The posture of these singers before the throne says it all. And rather than elaborate on their reasons for praising the Lord, they simply agree with what the multitude has already voiced in the first two verses, saying in verse 4, Amen. Hallelujah. This simple affirmation is similar to what was voiced after a prayer for deliverance in Psalm 106, verse 47. The psalmist there says, Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Hallelujah. As in this Old Testament context, those singing in Revelation recognize the Lord's unique ability to deliver his people from whatever threats they face. And this is certainly fitting, given the tribulation described in the book of Revelation and the persevering power of God that sustains his people therein. And it leads us to the fourth verse of this passage. Hallelujah, God reigns. Verses 5 and 6. Hallelujah, God reigns. The final verse of the song found in Revelation 19, 1 through 6, begins with a call to worship. And a voice came from the throne, verse 5 tells us, saying, Give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. Though exactly who this voice belongs to is unmentioned, it can be assumed that whoever issues this command has the authority to do so. The voice extends an invitation or request for those around the earth to join the celestial worship of God. All you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great, indicates those believers on the earth who have come to faith during the tribulation period, described in Revelation 6 and following. With the dead in Christ, or the multitude, and the heavenly hosts already worshiping, there are few left who can join the chorus. And what is implicit in this call is the desire to see the worship of God that exists in the heavenly realm echoing in the earthly realm among all who belong to him, his bondservants, among all who fear him, the obedient and reverent, no matter who they are, both the small and the great. After all, everyone in Christ is equal before the throne of God. Along with this shift from the heavenly to the earthly realm is a shift in tone. And though the judgment of Babylon the Great has been celebrated up to this point, the final verse celebrates the anticipated reward of the saints. Then I heard, verse 6 says, something like the voice of a great multitude and like the sound of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. The same group that opened the song in verse 1 now closes it in verse 6. Here, added descriptive phrases like the sound of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder highlight the volume of this climactic refrain. In Revelation 1:15, the voice of the one like a son of man was like the sound of many waters. And in chapter 14, verses 2 through 3, the harpists singing the new song were as loud as many waters and loud thunder. The decibels associated with this final verse are in keeping with the great message it communicates. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. This is the last hallelujah of the four. A lofty title, for God is employed once again, Lord God Almighty, highlighting the Father's omnipotence and sovereignty, who reigns. A present progressive verb demonstrating an ongoing and consistent activity. Here, the activity involves ruling as a king with the implication of complete authority. And the change of tense is significant when one considers what is happening in this pivotal chapter. While ongoing and continuous corruption characterized the planet in verse 2's description of the fallen world, because of God's culminative and decisive act of judgment, a new reality pervades the planet. God reigns. Hallelujah. Revelation 18 and 19 reveal that there are but two kinds of people in existence. People of the world and the people of God. These two types of people are illustrated by the songs that they will sing in the end. And the question today is this: What tune will be on your lips when you're made to face the music? Will your confidence in what this world can provide you or what you can provide for yourself, have you singing a song of doom and gloom prior to being judged by the God that you either denied or ignored? Or will you trust in Christ and the salvation that He alone can provide? And will this have you singing a song of praise to a sovereign Lord who is on the throne and working all things out for an ultimate good to those who love Him and are called according to His purposes? I hope you'll be singing the song that exclaims again and again and again, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is a righteous judge. We can trust Him to do what's right. And we can trust Him to totally deal with what this world deserves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, He alone is worthy of worship. And hallelujah, He reigns. Some of us, including myself, sing all kinds of different songs in our head, or we listen to what the world's playlist showcases and broadcasts, and we forget this song. We forget to look ahead and beyond this world for our hope. And maybe today you need to turn up the volume on this once again in your life so that you're able to drown out the inferior melodies that the enemy in this world would have you preoccupy yourself with. It's so easy in our world filled with noise to forget to, as God's people say, hallelujah. We trust that God is still in control and that He is working, even when we don't understand or see, to bring about a glorious end for His children. Maybe you need to remember that in a special way today. In a few moments, we're going to enter into a time of invitation, and today it's very fitting that we find ourselves here at the Lord's table, where you see, when God put this into practice all those years ago through Jesus Christ in the upper room, He gave us the elements of this table to remember what Christ did for us on the cross and in the empty tomb. It is a remembrance that ought to sustain our singing, our life's song, and the posture that we have in this world that would say, hallelujah, because of what Christ did for me all those years ago, I know I have victory in what He will bring in the end. What a beautiful way to remember that. But this is a believer's table. And certainly, while we welcome any of you who are here today to participate in this, if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize that there might be some of you here today that don't yet know the song that we've talked about today. But you'd like to learn it. You'd like to enter into a relationship with Christ. You recognize the futility of trusting in the things of this world or in yourself. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to share with you what it looks like to enter into such a relationship. But in a moment, after I pray, as we stand and approach this table as the worship team leads us, may we prepare our hearts in accordance with the Lord's word so that we might participate of this together as His body in a worthy manner, asking that the Lord's Spirit would reveal to us anything amiss in our lives that may be contrary to His character or will that we might need to confess, trusting that when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That we would approach this table in a worshipful manner as God's people who have something to sing about because of what Christ did for us on the cross. Coming as God made flesh, living a perfect life, and giving his life as a sacrifice for our sin, so that we may be made right with the Father, so that we may have something to sing about in the end. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are worthy of worship, that you reign, that your judgment is just and righteous. But Lord, today also we are thankful for what Jesus Christ did for us, so that we may be made right with you. So Lord, as we prepare our hearts to approach this table and take of its elements, we ask that we would do so in a worthy manner, as those who know and are living the good news in a world full of bad news. Father, we ask that if there are people here today that don't yet know the good news, that you would not let them rest until they find their rest in you, so that they may join the glorious song of heaven and say, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We pray all of this in the strong name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.